Okay, so we are now in a unit of Agadata. We started it last week with the story of Elazar ben Dordaya. We get now two blot of a lengthy Agadata about Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion. When I told Rabbi Yitzi Blau that I was teaching Agadata in Avodah Zarah, he said, "Oh, that means you get to teach Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion." It is worthwhile. So my guess is that Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion will take us 2 weeks, and then hidden in the middle of this is an Agadata that exists nowhere in Shas, only in Rashi, that everyone thinks it's in the Gemara, which is the story of Bruria committing suicide.
Yeah.
Which we will do in, whenever we finish this, we will spend time on that Agadata, which may or may, well, I mean, it doesn't exist in the Gemara, it's in Rashi. Over here on the Chesed Mebeis.
Part of it.
Does he say it's a
part of the story?
What?
He says it's
he quotes it. All we know is the Gemara says Masa de Bruria. Much has been written about it. We will address, because as I've mentioned before, whenever I can, I try quoting Torah from Rav Eitam Henkin, because, you know, I feel like big Talmidei Chachamim who were killed in terrorist attacks, you know, when they were in their young 30s, we should do our best to perpetuate their Torah. And he has a very long article on this piece in Rashi, so we will take advantage and quote his piece. We have to get there first. So the person we're going to meet for, I'm guessing, the next 2 weeks is Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion. So who's Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion? So we're talking a Talmud of Rabbi Kiva. He is on Rabbi Kiva's side. Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion. We will get there. He is a Talmud of Rabbi Akiva, so he's living in the generation after the
Khorba.
And also the rebellion of Bar Kokhba.
Right.
There is, for this I drew on many sources, but one of the sort of the most succinct and very good book in general is the, I think now it's 4-volume series by Benny Lau on the Chachamim. So he tries to basically sort of map out historically and theologically the members of Chazal. So we have chapter 29 in volume 2 is Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion. I mean, you note this, right? Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion is after the Bar Kokhba. And he notes that we know that from Smachot Chet Tet, where we have the story of Rabbi Kiva's execution in Caesarea, that his students or contemporaries or younger contemporaries or whatever exactly is, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion, hear about the death of Rabbi Kiva and they eulogize him. What is their eulogy? And they say, I'll read you the English, he has it here. O Israel, our brothers, hear us. Rabbi Kiva has been executed not because he was suspected of robbery or because he did not pull all his strength into the study of Torah. Rabbi Kiva has been executed only as a sign, for it is written, thus shall Yechezkel be unto you a sign according to all that he has done. You shall do. When this comes, you shall know that I am the Lord thy God. The Lord God. In a short time from now, no place in the land of Israel will be found where bodies of the slain have not been cast. For it is written, speak, thus says the Lord, and the carcasses of men fall as dung upon the open field. Not long thereafter, it is said, Roman armies attacked and set the entire world into chaos. Within 12 months, the councils of Judah came to an end. For it is written, tremble, you women that are at ease, be troubled, you confident ones. You women that are at ease refers to the councils. You confident ones refers to the circuses. It has been said that 12 months had not elapsed before everything that had been foretold happened to them. Yeah. Right, Rabbi Kiva's death was the beginning of really the end. Yes, and this is the period in which Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion is living. Okay, so that's the framing. So we meet him on Yedzayin Amud Beis. So Tana Rabbanan. Okay, so if you remember, there's a series of stories here in the Gemara of rabbis being kidnapped by the Romans. So that's what we get here. It's about 10 lines down on Yudzayim and Beis. First word in the line. Got it? Tan Rabbanan. Tan Rabbanan. Kishinit Basur Rabbi Elazar ben Parta Ruchne ben Tadion. So when Rabbi Elazar ben Parta and Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion were both kidnapped, or both captured by the Romans, Amar Le Rabbi Elazar ben Parta Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion. Ashrecha Shenit Pasta Ashrecha shenit pasta al divrei. Oili shenit pasti al chamisha, or echad rather. Oili shenit pasti al chamisha dvarim. So, So Rilazar ben Parta, Sedra Chanina ben Tradion, Gevalt, right? You were only captured for one crime, but I was captured for five, right? So the chances that I'm getting out of this are unlikely, right? This was just
captured by the
Romans, right? For five, again, actual crimes, made up crimes, whatever the case may be, but they had five claims against him. So Amar Le Ruchanina, no. Ashrecha shenitpast al chamisha dvarim v'ata nitzol. Oili shenitpast al davar echad v'eini nitzol. He said, no. You, despite the fact they have five claims against you, you are going to be saved. I am not going to be saved. I'm going to die. Even though there's only one claim against me. Sha'at asakta b'torah uvigmilus chasadim v'ani lo asakti ela b'torah bilvad. And then he says something very surprising. For you learned Torah and did chesed, and I only learned Torah. Chid Rav Huna, da'am Rav Huna, kol osik b'torah bilvad, dome kimi she'en lo eloah. Based on the statement of Rav Huna, that anyone who learns Torah alone and doesn't do chesed, it's as if he has no God. That for many days the Jews did not have a true God. What does it mean you didn't have a true God? That anyone who learns Torah alone, it's as if he has no God. So the Gemara says, wait a second. Gemilas chasadim lo asak. Did he really not do chesed? Right? This is what Chanina ben Tradion we're talking about, right? What does that mean? Vatanya, Rilazar ben Yaakov Omer, lo yitin adam odav larniki shal tztaka, elm gain memuna lov tamid chacham, kerimi Chanina ben Tradion. Not only did he do chesed, but he was the paradigm of chesed. Such that Rilazar ben Yaakov could say that you should never give your money to a tztaka collector unless he's as honest as Rav Chanina ben Tradion.
Mamona means as honest.
What?
No,
Ela MK Mamuna, unless it's appointed a love, right? Appointed on this staka is Tamil Chacham Gramin Chani Ben Tradion.
Doesn't mean he's like the lowest.
What?
Doesn't mean he's like the lowest level of trust.
No. It's like, unless he's of the high level, right?
Is at the bar, you know. Anyone him also is good. Right.
So the Gemara says, oh, hey Muna hu dehave mehemen me'avid lo avad. Yeah, maybe he was very trustworthy, but he didn't actually do chesed, which is a very, very strange thing to say. So the Gemara, what?
Sorry, wait.
No, then the Gemara says, what, really? Va'tanya, I don't understand. Really?
Can you translate that phrase one more time?
Hemune hu dehave mehemen. Maybe he was, right, he was believed. But me'avid lo avad, but he didn't do chesed. Right? He was very trustworthy, like he was a good staka collector, but he didn't necessarily do chesed himself. Right? He gave out other people's staka. And the Gemara says, no, wait. The Gemara says, that's just not true. Just not true. But Tanya Amarlo, Mo shall burn this chalfuli be mo shall staka v'chilaktim le'aniyim. He said, what do you mean? That I mixed up my money and the tztaka money, and I gave out my own money rather than the funds, and I didn't, and then the implication is, and I didn't get paid back. I just said, forget it. Right? Meaning, right, I had $10,000 of tztaka funds, I had $10,000 of my own money, I accidentally spent from my own money, and I didn't take the money out of the tztaka thing, I just paid it out of my own, right, my own pocket, right? So he wasn't just Neman, he also was a good person. So he says, Mevet Avad, Kidaboyle lo Avad. He said, you're right, he did some chesed, but he didn't do chesed as much as he could have.
Uh-huh.
Okay? He didn't do it as good as possible. Okay. So this Gemara, first of all, is very. It's a stickle strange, right? It's a bit weird. So what is going on here? Right, so the first thing we learn about, so now let me give you a little bit of the end. Right, the end is going to be that what was the claim for which the Romans captured and eventually we'll see murder of Chanina ben Tradion?
He taught Torah publicly.
Right, he taught Torah publicly. To frame this agadata, right, it's not just right. It's ironic, right? Because what is Chanina ben Tradion saying agadically? Right? What is? Let's just try to frame the Agadah. Okay, we're going to try to figure out what's going on. What is he saying? Right, and this is quite striking. He says, right, let's get the framing, then we'll get to the details. What does he say to Elazar ben Parta?
I'm going to learn Torah. You did all these other things that you're getting arrested for.
Right, but now let's think about it in context. What's he saying? The Romans have it out for me because
I'm a Torah.
I taught Torah. And God has it out for me because I taught Torah. Right? Meaning, think about the effect in the broader Agadata. Right? The Romans want to kill me because I taught Torah. And God doesn't have out for me, but God is not going to save me because...
I didn't do enough gemilas.
Right. Yes, I didn't do enough chesed, but now let's sharpen it in the framing. Right, what's he saying? The Romans are going to kill me because of my commitment to Torah, even at the expense of my life. But God is going to save me because my commitment to Torah was so singular that it was at the expense of chesed. Right? So the irony of the whole Agadata is that the singularity with which he committed himself to Torah made it, right, is both, which makes him, right, subject to death penalty by the Romans, but ironically
is what doesn't let him be saved.
Correct. Is what makes it that God, in the end of the day, isn't going to save him either. Right? And it ends up being, right, at first it thinks he did no chesed. Right? He did no chesed. Ben Gmar says that can't be. He did chesed. Right, we know he did chesed, even a lot of chesed. But, apparently, it wasn't enough. Right? So the first striking thing about the Agadata, right, again, just framing-wise, is that there is, I don't know if it's a criticism, but there is some level of criticism of Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion, right? And we'll see that this criticism will keep coming up, that there was something problematic, both politically, but... the Chiddush is, even theologically, with his singular commitment to Talmud Torah. Right? And the simplest shot of the Yerushalmi is, because what makes you Zoche to be saved? Right? What would give you the schus to be saved? What?
Yerushalmi?
I didn't say Yerushalmi.
Yerushalmi?
You're on your way to do a mitzvah.
Whatever. What's the pshat of the Pavli, rather? Right? What's the pshat of what it is that would make it that you're Zocha to be saved? Chesed. Or, if we want to put it as one modern thinker put it, the little things. Right? Meaning, Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion is going to become the picture perfect martyr for Talmud Torah.
Right.
But what the Gemara is telling you is, as great as that is.
Because it was the only thing he did.
Right? Right. Meaning, as great as it is, at some level, the Gemara is telling you what makes you the greatest is not being a martyr for Torah,
right,
is the little things in life, right? Is being good enough at chesed, right? Which is quite a striking.
And if he had done the little things, he wouldn't have been a martyr.
Correct, right? That's the implication of the Gemara. The Rulazar ben Parta, right? There were five claims against him, but at the end of the day, he did Torah and Gemilas Chasadim, which means that he wasn't as singularly rebellious as Rechanan Tradon on a political level, but his varied interests also meant that God saved him. And it's Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion becomes a martyr both politically and religiously because of his singular focus on Talmud Torah to the exclusion of all else, which is what made him such a rebel to the Romans. And as we'll see, that will play itself out, that he's quite a rebel to the Romans. But the striking thing about the Gemara, and again, many drushot have been given on this, on the importance of chesed, but the irony of the Gemara is that it's even true from God's perspective, and even Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion recognized that. Right? I mean, you think about it, that claim is not in... this is not someone else saying, right, on the previous daf, you had Rabbi Eliezer was captured, and he said, oh, this isn't fair. Right? Why was I captured? Why am I going to be? Why did they try to kill me? He gets released in the end, but he challenges God's justice. The irony of this story is that Chanina ben Tradion doesn't even challenge the justice. He says to Rabbi Chanina ben Parta, "Yeah, you know what? I know I didn't do enough." Right? Like, there's this bizarre cognitive dissonance going on in this Gemara. But this is the person that we meet, right? Totally and completely committed to Talmud Torah, but we'll see. Also, totally committed to political rebellion. Totally kol kulo, right? Meaning, part of what we're going to see is that his martyrdom is not just religious, right? It is political, right? It is political. If you want to see that, I'm trying to think of whether we should do this in order to actually get the feel of Gemara, or I should prove it to you first. Yeah, let's skip for a moment. Let's skip. So let me prove it to you. So go to Yudches Amud Aleph. Okay. And we'll come back to this. So he says, go 1, 2, 3, 4 lines. 4 lines from the bottom. Four lines in the before the end of the shortest lines. You got it? Right, there are three lines. The shortest one. So, Tan Rabbanan. Kishachala Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma, Halach Rabbi Chanina ben Teradion Levakro. So Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma got sick.
I do not see where you are.
The last word in the line is Tano. It's 4 lines.
Very thin.
From the shortest lines. So Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma got sick, and Rabbi Chanina ben Teradion went to visit him. Amar lo. So Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma said to him, Chanina achi, my brother Chanina, what are you doing teaching Torah? Don't you know that the Romans have been granted Malchus from God? Right? Because God allowed him to destroy his house, to burn down the Beis HaMikdash, to kill all these tzaddikim, to get rid of all the good. Right? And Rome still stands, meaning, right? They've done all the most evil things you could do and they're still standing. That must mean that God wants them to be in place. And I've heard that you're giving shir klali. Right? You're out there teaching Torah. And you have the Sefer Torah in your... Right, you hold the Sefer Torah, you hug the Sefer Torah, which as we'll see is how he's going to die, right, in your heart, while you are teaching it. Now what do you see here? Right, what is Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma arguing? That his commitment, and this is what I said before, that what? Your commitment to Talmud Torah isn't only religious, it's political. Right, like don't you understand politics? Don't you understand that religiously you should be smart? And you, not only do you teach Torah, like you do it in the most provocative way you could do. You're making a statement, right? You go out in public with the Torah in your arms, and you teach your klali, like waving around the symbol of your religious rebellion. Amar lo, minashamayim yirachamu. He says, God will have mercy. Amar lo, so Yossi ben Kisma said to him, ani omer lecha dvarim shel tam. I understand. I'm telling you things that make sense. Va'atha omerli min ha'shamayim yirachamu. And you're telling me, God will have mercy. Tamei anim lo yisrufu oscha v'sefer Torah be'esh. So he said to him, I would be shocked if they don't burn you alive while you're holding the Sefer Torah. Which, as we'll see, is in fact how he dies. So, if it was me, I would have left the room at this point. But instead, he continues. And he says, Amar lo, Rebbe, mani chai olam haba. Okay, fine, but am I going to go to olam haba after that? Amar lo, klum maise baliyatcha. He said, well, what schuyot do you even have? Right? Why should you go to olam haba? Now, what's incredible about this line, and this is why I'm reading it with the first part. The answer should be, what? I risked my life to teach Torah Berabim. What does he say? Amar lo, Mos shel Purim nischalfuli b'mos shel tzedaka v'chilaktim la'aniyim. And he invokes the story that he said about his tzedaka, right? That he paid the poor people from his own pocket and didn't recollect it from the public funds. Amar lo, imkein michalkecha yeh chalki u'megarelecha yeh goreli. So he said, if that's the case, then your portion is my portion, your lot is my lot. Amru lo hayu yamim muatim machinifter biyudim and kisma. It was only a few days until Riosim and Kisma died. Vahalchu kogdole romi lekavro visbidu hesbid gadol. And so all the Romans mourned him and eulogized Riosim and Kisma. Ubi chazarasan on their way back from the funeral. Matzul Rechinim ben Taradion Sheyoshev Viosek B'Torah Umakel Kilos B'Rabim V'Sefer Torah Munach Lo B'Cheiko. And we'll come to his
after
death.
After he died.
Right? What? As soon as Jerusalem Kisma dies,
right.
Now it's time to kill Rav Chanina ben Trodion. Okay, so we'll come back to his death. But just to frame it now, right? So, now let's push more into what we know about Rav Chanina ben Trodion. Two things. One thing that we learn about Rav Chanina ben Trodion is that his religious commitment to Talmud Torah is not only religious. It is
political.
How do we know?
Making a statement, holding the Torah in his arms. And he
yes, and
quietly.
The Gemara is very explicitly contrasting him with who? Rav Chanina ben Kisma. Who what?
Taught it privately.
And says to him, what are you doing making a political statement?
Yeah.
Right? And then, just to make the point clear, right, as if right, you couldn't get a more vivid image. Rav Chanina ben Kisma was smart politically, and therefore, when he died, the Romans eulogize him.
Yeah.
And on their way back from the funeral, they catch Rav Chanina ben Trodion and sentence him to death.
Why wasn't he at the funeral?
What?
Why wasn't he at the
funeral? I don't know. Presumably he was making a statement, right? Like, meaning, you get the feeling that Rav Chanina ben Kisma is saying, what the heck is wrong with you?
Right.
Right? And Rav Chanina ben, right?
He dies.
What?
Then Rav Yossi dies.
Well, he's sick. Normally he dies. He's sick. Not like he wasn't killed. He just died. He was old. Right? He was old. He was sick. Now, many people have pointed out that what you see from this very much is that Rav Chanina ben Trodion is the spiritual and political heir of Rabbi Kiva. Because one of the things you find over and over in Shas is this machlokes between people who think that if there is a government, as evil as it is, you got to work with them. You don't make public stands against them. You work within the political system, and you know you try to get as much frumkeit as you can under hard times. And then there are the people who say, and what about Geula? What do you say? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right, leave it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then there are the people who say no. Right, part of being religious is acting politically. Now, in the time of Rabbi Kiva, how did that manifest itself?
Destruction of the Beis Hamikdash.
No.
Bar Kokhba revolt.
Bar Kokhba. Are you on the side of Bar Kokhba like Rabbi Kiva? Or are you against Bar Kokhba like many of the other Rabbanim of the time?
Right.
In the time of Rav Chanina ben Trodion, it's Rav Yossi ben Kisma. Who clearly, what's his approach?
On the side of the Romans.
Yeah, I mean, he tells you that, right? He tells you that straight.
The Romans
have been given by Malchus by God. We're not going to fight them. So much so, is he acquiescent to the political reality that at his funeral, the Romans eulogize him. Right? Now, if this doesn't prove it enough, there is a Gemara in Sanhedrin Tzadi Ches. Again, I'll read you the English just because this is the version I have of it on me, and it was more convenient to have this. The disciples of Yossi ben Kisma asked him, when will the Mashiach come? Right? Just to prove this point. He answered, I fear lest you demand a sign of me. They assured him, we will demand no sign of you. So he answered them, when this gate falls down, is rebuilt, falls again, and is again rebuilt, and then falls a third time, before it can be rebuilt, the Son of David will come. They said to him, Master, give us a sign. He protested, didn't you assure me that you would not demand a sign? They replied, even so. He said to them, if so, let the waters of the grotto of Panias turn into blood, and they turned into blood. Okay. When he lay dying, he said to them, place my coffin deep in the earth, for there is not one palm tree in Babylon to which a Persian horse will not be tethered, nor one coffin in Palestine out of which a Median horse will not eat straw. Now, so without getting into the details, as Benny Lau points out, what do you learn about Rav Chanina ben Kisma and his approach to Geula?
It'll come.
It'll come, right? It will come, right? He has this like utopian end of days thing, right? Like the Romans will fall and they'll fall again and they'll fall again, and then at the end of all that falling, Mashiach will come, right? That is, right, seems to be in the personality of Rav Chanina ben Kisma. Right, he takes the position of those rabbis who said, right, we don't oppose politicians, we don't oppose the politics, right, God will bring Geula, we just try to do what we can in private, we don't make political statements. right? Another case in Shas where you see this is Ten li yavne v'chachomea. Right? The Gemara in Gittin tells us that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai escapes from the siege of Yerushalayim, makes it to the Caesar, right? Predicts that he's going to become the Caesar, or you know the whole story, right? He predicts he's going to become the... No? You know the Gemara is your lateral learning, Tishabav? Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai escapes, manages to make it to the general, who's not yet Caesar, and he says, Hail Caesar. He says, this is treason. I'm not Caesar. At that moment, a messenger comes and says... The
king is dead.
Right? The king is dead. You're Caesar. And the whole story, whatever, he grants him three wishes, right? For having realized that he was, you know, Caesar. And he says...
Which is kind of...
Right? Right, he says, let me bury the dead of Beitar, give me a doctor of Tzadok, and allow me to bring the rabbis to Yavne. Right? Save the rabbis of Yavne, let me rebuild the Sanhedrin.
Why didn't he use one of his wishes?
And Rabbi Kiva says, what does Rabbi Kiva say? He should have asked him not to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. Right? And the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai thought they wouldn't listen. But again, what do you see? Rabbi Kiva says... Bikiva's personality. He's involved in the Bar Kokhba rebellion. He thinks that if you have a chance, what do you do? Right? You challenge the political order. You have a wish. So say, turn back. And what does Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai do? Look, I don't think they'll answer. I don't think they'll listen. Let me try to get whatever I can. Yes. So this seems to be a machlokes, right, throughout history. Right? There's always, and there's no like one answer. Right? Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Chanan ben Tradion are the people who say part of being religious is to stand up to the government, to be religious, to push. Right? And then you have Rabbi Shimon Kisma and Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, you say, look, we do what we can, but we recognize that sometimes you've got to lay low, and that's okay. And you get whatever you can done in a quiet way. Right? These are two visions. Right? The Rav said that if you want to understand Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, the Gemara in Brachot said that before he's dying, or before he dies, he says to his, he's crying. And his students say, why are you crying? He said, I don't know if I'm going to Olam Haba. So the Rav said, why was Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai? Why was he afraid he wasn't going to Olam Haba? And he said, because he never knew if he was right for being so passive and not asking the Romans to spare Yerushalayim. Right? Because that's a very hard decision. Right? At that point, right? Playing it safe is not always safe. Right, so you see these two personalities, but Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion is in a very, 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 very extreme way on the side of right. We're active, we're proactive, even rebellious to stand up for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? And that's Rabbi Yosef ben Kisma says to him, right? Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion says, "Look, I'll do whatever I do, and if God wants to kill me, He'll kill me, right? Min Hashamayim Yirachamu, right?" And Yossi ben Kisma says, Ani omer lecha dvarim shel tam. I'm telling you something that makes sense, and you're giving me this, like, right, it'll all be okay? What, are you crazy? But what's he really saying? As we'll see, he's saying, and if he doesn't have mercy on me, so he won't. But I'm not going to take it lying down, right? I'd rather die. The second thing you see is, again, what we pointed out in the first Gemara, is that even Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion notes that as great as he might be, and as much as he's a martyr, and he's willing to sacrifice for Torah, what gives you your right to live and your right to Olam Haba? The little things, the tzedaka. Right? Meaning what gets him into Olam Haba is the fact that he paid the aniyim from his own money. And even that, right, is not enough. Right? So the message of this Gemara is clearly not Talmud Torah can I get Gulam. It's not. Right?
But one of the things...
Again, you have to...
That's the last thing in the Mishnah.
Correct. And this Gemara clearly is telling you that...
Are the Gemaras arguing with each other? Or
so it could be arguing, or it could just be that what's the Gemara saying? Right? Limudam and Azlasos. Right? It's very nice. Talmud Torah is great, but only if it manifests itself in action. And if it doesn't manifest sufficiently in action, this is how Rabbi Lachman seemed like to formulate it. No, that means there's a chisaron in your Talmud Torah.
Right.
Right.
It's not Talmud Torah. It doesn't matter.
Right. That's Rav Lichtenstein's claim. Is that what it's saying? If Talmud Torah has to be taken broadly. Right. A Talmud Torah, which is Amanaz Lasos. Right. In the fullest sense. Or their intention. Right. Meaning Agadata. Sometimes their intention. Right. When we say Keneged Kulam, what does that mean? Right. Clearly in this Agadata. Right. Again, on its own terms. Clearly in this Agadata. Right. Talmud Torah is not. Now, look. You could give technicalities. You could say, look, in the first half of the Gemara, you could have said, maybe Talmud Torah is going to get Kulam, but being saved in this world, right, requires other people to depend on you, right? Because then in their merit, you'll be saved, right, or something like that. But in the second Gemara, it's clearly not, right? In the second Gemara, he says, do I have a right in Olam Haba? And he says, your Talmud Torah isn't enough, right? What's enough is your Tzedakah. So it's clear that Talmud Torah by itself is not enough. It's clear, right? There's no way of reading this Haggadah to not that way. Okay, another point. Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma is not very well known, but there is one very famous Mishnah about Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma in Avos, Perek Vav, right? And the Brisa's there, right? It's not really a Mishnah, it's a Brisa, right? The sixth Perek is not Mishnah, so it's Brisa's, right? And that is, Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma was walking on the way, and a man greeted him, and he said, where do you come from? And he said,
where did you go?
What?
I come from where? I come from a city of Talmidei Chachamim. And he says to him, okay, I'll give you thousands of gold dinarim, right? Come live with me and be the rabbi of our community. Right? Of Amaratzim. And what does he say?
No.
You could give me all the silver, gold, precious stones in the world, and I would not, right? Eini dar ela b'makom Torah. I would never live anywhere but Torah. And moreover, at the time of a person's death, neither silver, gold, precious stones, nor pearls will accompany him, but only his Torah and his good deeds that is written, when you walk, it will lead you, etc. In this world, when you lie down, it will watch over you. In the grave, when you wake, it will speak to you in the world to come. Right? Thus, it's written in the book of Psalms by David, king of Israel.
Like a riot,
right? This teaching you have proclaimed.
It's like a riot against
what?
A
lie.
You proclaimed means more to me than a fortune in gold and silver, and is written, mine is silver, mine is the gold. Says the Lord of hosts, right? Right? Now that only makes this more striking. Why? Because what do we learn about Yossi ben Kisma?
Oh, and that he's very into Torah also.
Yeah! Right? Meaning, if you want to understand the Haggadah fully, you have to remember Yossi ben Kisma was willing to give up all the money in the world.
Right?
Rather than not give up Torah, but give up living in a Makom Torah, even to be the rabbi in another city, because he thought his Torah would be better in a Makom Torah. Mm. And he is the one who says to Rechanin ibn Tradyon, but it's not worth paying with your life.
He could have made it a Makom Torah.
Well, apparently not, because the Makom Torah is apparently not a community with one good rabbi. It's a place where the Balabatim are ultimately the Chomim, you know? That's apparently the Vart.
It's like the Dagan.
We like Dagan. Woo! Yeah.
So is the question that this is Gamilas Chasadim is going to be the rabbi in this Amaras?
So that's an interesting kasha, right? Is that
that's an interesting. I mean, that's the only way it would be a problem. Otherwise,
no, it's not a problem. I'm just pointing out, right? That. Right, if we want to fully understand this, you have to realize the conversation between Rechanina ben Tradyon and Rosa ben Kisma isn't one of someone who appreciated Talmud Torah and was willing to sacrifice for Talmud Torah and someone who didn't.
Right.
Rosa ben Kisma is willing to give up all the money in the world.
Yeah.
He just is not willing to give up his life. He thinks it's not one of the Yharikval Yavors. He thinks that you have to take into account political realities. And therefore, sure, all things being equal, he'd be willing to give up everything in the world for Talmud Torah. But he's also not messianic, you know, like in the way that he's not like proactive politically such that he's willing to sacrifice his life. He has, like those who argue in Rabbi Akiva, the intuition that, okay, that may be very nice, but, you know, you have to save your life. You can't, you know, you can't shove it in the Roman's face, right? That's not what you're supposed to do. Now, it could be partially theological, right? Namely, that his belief that if God allowed the Romans to succeed...
Yeah, they must.
It's because God wants them to succeed, and therefore we have to learn something from that. Okay, but so I think we're going to have to stop here for Minchas soon. But just to summarize what we've seen so far in Rechanina ben Tradyon's life is that first of all, in his conversation with Yossi ben Kisma, we learn that even two people who really, really value Talmud Torah and are willing to sacrifice the Talmud Torah. Right? There's always going to be these two approaches to how do we relate to difficult political situations. There's going to be the Rabbi Kivas and the Rechanim and Tradyons of the world who say, look, what we're supposed to do is we're supposed to rise up and rebel and make a stand for Torah. And then there's going to be Rabbi Yossi ben Kismas and the Reuchem ben Zakkais who say, look, it's not always worth standing up. Sometimes you accomplish whatever you can within the political framework. And you have to take political realities into account. And, you know, some of the more modern people will say, look, this is the machlokes of Rabbi Kiva and Reuchem ben Zakkai. It's the machlokes of Rechanina ben Tradyon and Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma. It's the machlokes, the, you know,
of Shimon Bar Yochai.
The Zionists and the anti, right, and the non-Zionists, right? Meaning, but the point is that there is this constant trend, right? It's not like it doesn't end in Chazal, right? There's always these two camps, and the reason that there's no like hachra is because there is no one answer, right? Sometimes one answer is necessary, sometimes the other answer is necessary, right? Obviously, it depends. The second thing, as I said, that comes out of these Gemaras clearly is that, again, Yaakov's kasha is a good kasha, right? Talmud Torah, can I get kulam? Except this Agadita is providing a corrective to that, which is even if Talmud Torah, can I get kulam, the first Gemara tells you, but if you want to know who God is going to save, it's not necessarily the biggest Talmud Chacham, or even the one who's willing to martyr himself for Talmud Torah, right? Chesed is going to make you successful, where Torah is not. And even more strikingly, in the second Gemara, that's also what's getting you into Olam Haba. It's the little things.
Really, it's not really negative.
Do you think this is like...
Correct. Because there are a heck of a lot of things that are connected to Kulam.
Can't you just say very simply, Tom Torah's connected to Kulam could teach you how to do all the other things?
You could say it's connected to Kulam in the sense that, yeah, it's what enables you to do all the other mitzvot. But if you are lacking in your fulfillment, that shows, again, that shows that you are... Yeah, I mean, a lot of things are connected to Kulam. Harat, right? Obviously, at some level, Gemara is saying, right? Meaning, it's clear that, and this is why you can't take single lines in a Mishnah or a Gemara as if that's the be-all and end-all of Judaism, right? Yes, Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam makes it sound like Talmud Torah is the be-all and end-all of Judaism. Problem is, you read this Haggadah, and it's clear the Gemara goes out of its way to tell you that that's not true. There's another side to the story. Well,
it's a lot of Gattas.
Correct. There's a lot of Agadatas like this.
Wait, is it that this is actually like literally like Chesed is more important than Torah, or is it that
it doesn't say that? It never says it's more important. Again, that's why you could be miyashiv if you want. You could say no, Talmud Torah is important as long as it expresses all of an action. This is the way Rav Lachlanstein formulates it, is that yes, Talmud Torah can I get kulam if it's the Talmud Torah that's legitimately a manas lasos. But if there's a lack on your manas lasos, it's a pagam in the type of Talmud Torah you're learning. But assuming that you express it, assuming that when the time comes, you act in the best way possible, that shows that your Talmud Torah was real Talmud Torah, and then it's going to get kulam. Right? You can come up with a middle formulation, but what it's clearly not, right, it's clearly telling you that theoretical Torah that doesn't express itself in Chesed is not as important as Chesed, right? That's clear, right? That's clear, right? Again, it could be a whole shiur to figure out exactly just that line, how miyashiv this with Talmud Torah can I get kulam, but at the very least, this Agadata acts as a corrective. Okay, so next week we'll continue the story of Rechanina ben Trad. You know, like I said, it's going to take 2 weeks just to get through the Gemaras, right? I debated giving you a source sheet, but I said if I actually give you a full out source sheet, we'll never get out of these Gemaras. Just seeing the basics, it'll take time. Okay.